Friends, our gospel reading for this Palm Sunday comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 11. These are familiar words, a familiar story. I invite you to search for something new in these ancient words that speak to you at this point on your faith journey. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophets, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, today is Palm Sunday. I love Palm Sunday. It's so festive and joy-filled. It's a parade after all, right? There's singing, there's marching, there's waving and cheering. There's even a grand marshal at this parade. You know, a smile comes to my face when I just think about it. I picture a beautiful, beautiful spring day, a light breeze, throngs of happy folks lining that narrow street that led from the top of the Mount of Olives down into the Kidron Valleys. You know, I've pictured that scene in my mind year after year for decades. And you know, it never gets old to me. It's always a beautiful image. Today's Palm Sunday. Today is about a parade. It's about festivities. It's about, woohoo, look at us. We're with him. Hey, Jesus, over here. Friends, today is our day. Wave those palms. Shout with joy. It harkens back almost to Christmas, you know, to our celebration of Emmanuel. God is with us. How great is this? How great is Palm Sunday? This is what our faith is all about, right? Sure, sure. Now, if you're over the age of 40, let's say, and you were raised in a Protestant tradition, and I was, then more than likely your experience of Holy Week is simply moving from the celebration of Palm Sunday to the celebration of Easter in one fell swoop. You know, without any contravening emotions, you know, joy, and then more joy. Maybe we had a Maundy Thursday communion service, but even that just seemed to kind of be a function as a nice affirmation of my own personal piety. Any reference to dark things like brutality or crucifixion always seemed to be tempered by the impending Easter joy. So the bottom line then was Holy Week ended up being a pep rally of sorts, instead of a time of deep soul searching. Yay, we won! Now let's go find those Easter eggs. Instead of, how can this one from Nazareth, who so challenged his compatriots' worldview of life and faith, change my life and change it fundamentally so that I can find a new depth of meaning for my life now? Friends, that's where I am today. What will this coming week look like in my life? Where will it lead me? And I ask these questions knowing that that first Holy Week led to some very dark places, right? Before it ultimately surrendered to the dawning brilliance of a new day. You know, my concern this morning is how I lead my life this week going to work? How is it going to get me to where I need to be? Am I going to fail to use this week wisely? So, what I'm planning to do is I'm planning to walk some. Maybe a lot. I'm planning to sit some. And I'm planning on spending a significant amount of time in silence. As I ask the question that I spend so much of my time and effort trying not to ask, I'm going to ask the question, who have I allowed myself to become? You know, that's a question that haunts me. You see, I am a child of God. And I need to find a way to reclaim that identity. You know, one that I seem to have allowed to slip away from me. You know, this week, I need resurrection. There's a story that has caused me great angst ever since I first heard it several years ago. And I'll probably tear up right now just recounting it. It's a story that began with a street fight between two 17-year-old boys in a poverty-torn town in Iran. A fight that left one young man dead and the other in prison. 7 years passed between the tragic event, the tragic incident, and then the administration of justice. Finally, when the sentence was handed down for the surviving young man, it was a very severe sentence. Death by hanging. According to the law at this time in that province of Iran, the family of the victim was notified of the sentence. And when the family of the condemned, then the family of the condemned was notified. The sentence was to be carried out the following morning. As you can imagine, both the mother of the deceased as well as the mother of the condemned were devastated. One had lost her son, the other was about to. On the morning of the execution, a crowd gathered to watch the spectacle unfold. The mother of the condemned man was pressed up against a retaining fence. Her hands were extended through the rails of the barrier, then angled up toward the heavens. Her face was disfigured by the agony that gripped her soul. Her son was about to be executed. And there was absolutely nothing that she could do to stop it. Well, they then brought the condemned man out from his cell. He was bound and blindfolded. And as they escorted him into the prison yard, he cried out prayers of anguish. They guided him to a chair that had been carefully positioned directly below the gallows noose. He was lifted up and placed standing on the chair. The noose was draped around his neck and tightened down. At this point, his mother could no longer bear it. She collapsed to the ground and her head slumped to her chest. Attention quickly shifted from the mother of the condemned to the parents of the one who had been killed. They entered the courtyard and they were escorted to the gallows. The crowd watched anxiously as the mother of the one who had been killed asked for a chair to be brought. A chair was brought, and it was placed immediately adjacent to the chair in which the condemned man stood. As I watched the news report and saw the face of this grieving mother, I knew her loss. You just knew it from looking in her eyes. She had a broken heart. The pain of losing a child in such a violent manner had been just too much for her to bear. It had broken her spirit. And so she asked for a microphone so she could address the crowd. Her anguish refused to be disguised. As she spoke her words of sadness, she moved her gaze around as she studied the faces of those who had gathered. She then turned to the man who had killed her son. Their faces were just inches apart. He was pleading for mercy. She then asked a question that only a grieving mother could possibly comprehend. She asked her son's killer this question. She said, "Do you know what I have gone through all these years and how my life became like poison? Do you know what I've gone through?" And she could just stand it no longer. She lifted her hand, and in a swift and desperate way, she slapped the blindfolded man across the face. 7 years of indescribable pain were gathered up in that moment. I could literally feel it. I could feel it as I gazed at a photograph that was taken the very instant. And I was with her. I was with her. I was with her in all her pain and all her brokenness. Do you know what I've gone through all these years because of you? And how my life has become like poison because of you? It was almost too intense to witness. I almost had to turn it off. But before I could, it got even more intense. And more, I don't know what, because there are no words to describe it. You see, the grieving mother slapped her son's killer in the face, and then she turned away and said to the executioner, as she waved her hand down in a slashing move, "Forgive him! Forgive him!" It was at that moment I realized something that has puzzled and perplexed physicists since the dawn of time. I realized that I was in one of those moments, you know, those moments when the universe stops expanding and its whole focus bears down on you, like an ant under a magnifying glass. Those moments in which you are given a glimpse into it. You're given a glimpse into reality. Into the way life really is. Life stripped of all its pretense and soul-degrading accretions. Do you know that feeling? Sure you do. Sure you do. Well, that's exactly what happened to me. It was one of those moments. As I looked at the pictures taken in a prison courtyard in Iran, as I tried my best to understand what it was that was unfolding before my eyes, as I tried to get a handle on the confused emotions that were coursing through my soul, I found it. I found that meaning of the word resurrection. It was given to me again. And I also found the meaning of the three words that we will exchange next Sunday. And the words are these: Christ is risen. Friends, that's what I'm seeking again this week. I need it again. And you know that's why we gather every Sunday, right? Because I need to remember and be reminded of it every single week. Sunday's not the Sabbath. That's not why we gather. No, it's a day of resurrection. It's a day of new life. It's a day of new possibilities. The day of change. You know, this week, Holy Week, just takes on a bit more significance for us because next Sunday is our commemoration of that first Easter. So as I see it, The challenge facing us, facing me this week, is to reclaim my identity as a child of God, as a member of the body of Christ. And I believe that I can do that, that we can do that by intentionally making our way into that innermost holy of holies of our soul, where years of self-neglect and abuse encounter profound honesty and divine grace. And I believe that it is in just such an encounter that words and emotions like those shouted across an Iranian prison yard find their source. And resurrection finds us. Friends, use this holy time wisely. You know, who knows, maybe our current social distancing practices may just afford us the space we need to figure it all out. Thanks be to God. Amen.